Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am your co-host, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart, Joe DeLeon. Good evening, good sir.
Blake, did you see the news? Deacon Hill entered the transfer portal. Groundbreaking stuff, man. Whoever gets him. If you need a quarterback, he started some football games. Now, I don't know if he played very well, but Deacon Hill did start some football games.
I don't think the Swiss roll, Chet Cola, Ben Roethlisberger, is going to play at another P5 school.
Nah, come on, man. Somebody's going to take him.
Like whom?
I don't know. Think about how many bad teams there are that don't have quarterbacks.
Like whom?
Like Iowa.
Okay. Joe, you know what would be the funniest thing ever?
What?
Is if the kid goes somewhere else and is actually good. That's what will be the funniest shit ever. Because
that's
what if it's
happen,
just Iowa's offense that's ass?
Well, we know that it's Iowa's offense. We know that that was the reason why that they were bad was obviously Deacon Hill contributed a little bit to that. He's not going to go anywhere and be any good, though. It was just kind of funny that he popped into the transfer portal today.
It is. It isn't the only person that hopped into the transfer portal. We got more kids going flip-flopping and leaving schools that they transferred to, which is really interesting. But we also have a very electric running back from Colorado entering the portal in Dylan Edwards. Joe, I'm going to continue to say this. If this were anywhere else in the country, we would be firing off the sound alarms about how bad a program is being run, and Deion is doing it.
I don't think it's unfair to give criticism for this. You know, I think that it's problematic that the guy who was one of the most electric offensive weapons that you had last year entered the portal. And it's really stupid to me that Colorado
after fans, you got a kid from the portal in Hayden.
Yeah. I see. Well,
so they add somebody. What it looks like, and this could be wrong, but what it looks like is they're adding kids from the portal and then cutting kids.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that they I don't think that they're cutting Edwards though, because Edwards is really good.
I don't think they are either. But right. I mean, Joe, they get somebody from the portal, then they lose somebody. It is the most ass backwards thing that you will see. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense. It's bad roster building. It's absolutely bad roster building.
You know what it is? You know what it looks like? It looks like a 12-year-old on Madden. No, I actually want this guy. This guy played in the SEC. You know, like, I remember this guy in the SEC just cutting and adding guys, cutting and adding guys, cutting and adding guys. That's what it honestly looks like. It looks stupid.
Yeah, it's very, very mismanaged the way that Deion's trying to build his roster.
Well, I'm sure that's not the debate that you're going to be wanting to come here for, because, Joe, here tonight, we're going to be doing our top five wide receivers. Now, I told you when I had been giving you my list of the top five wideouts that I was playing with you with some of my lists. There is going to be somebody on my list today that I will fight for until my dying breath, not really, but my dying college football breath, that I think that he's a top five wide receiver, because, Joe, I've seen it.
I'm going to save my thoughts for this.
The last time this happened, the last time I felt like this, Malik Nabers might go number five.
But Malik Nabers had 1,000 yards the year before that he had this.
And he was still behind him.
You can't.
Are you going to penalize Emeka Abuka for being behind two first-round wide receivers and him having almost the same amount of yardage as what
Emeka Abuka was hurt. Emeka Abuka was hurt and had tightrope surgery. this year. Kyron Lacy has never produced. This is an insane.
He was behind four draft picks.
Okay, then put him at 10 or 15, not four. You put him at four. Well,
you ruined all of it because you gave him anyway.
But it's not absurd.
Oh, I will bet the house. And I think I'm telling you, you better listen. You better listen because this kid. Good.
There's 10 other kids that put over him.
When we get to this time of the year next year and you're talking about him being in the first round, I don't want to hear shit.
First of all, that's not going to happen. Second of all, okay, we've established here this isn't pure projection, though. That's why I have a problem with it.
It is pure projection on this one, and I'm going against my own rule.
I mean, it's dumb. I'm sure that he'll have a good year. I'm sure that he could have a good year.
But he's going to be in the first round.
He's a fifth-year guy who hasn't, and understandably was behind people, but he was a fifth-year guy, and he had 500 yards last year. I'll save my full thoughts when we get to it.
I'll tell you one thing and one thing only. You better go turn on that Bama film. By the way, just quick question. Tyrion Arnold and Kool-Aid McKinstry, where are those two guys going to go in the draft?
Did they not have their hands full?
Can you just for once answer my question?
They're going in the first round, but okay. They have their hands full with
how,
other guys.
How do you put on him roasting that first round corner last year and actually the last 2 years? Oh, by the way, when LSU won the SEC, who was the guy that sprung Jaden Daniels and put a motherfucker on the – sorry, but put –
it's a bad pick. Pick a guy that has produced before. Pick a guy that's made an all-conference team. Not somebody who has 500 yards. It's okay to project, but to throw him up at four, I think, is way too bullish.
I just loosely used the very bad word. I get heated. That's what we're going to be doing here tonight, though, folks. That's how heated this debate's going to be. Also, Joe, we'll preview the NFL draft here tonight, too.
Yeah, just a couple quick thoughts on expectations for Thursday. I know that we don't really talk draft on this show, but it's connected. What?
You know what's interesting? I went back and looked at this today. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you what happened on this show 1 week ago yesterday?
What?
It's so funny. I came out here and said, Joe, and I'm quoting here, Joe, I think I hear some things that your Giants might be moving up to take a quarterback. And then Adam Schefter was reporting, well, the team that I hear that really, really wants to move up is the New York Giants. All you need to do is listen to Ruffino and Joe show.
We got all the info.
I think that there's a team out there that Washington would trade with that nobody in the media is talking about. But you know what? We're going to do that here tonight because we got so much that we got to get to. You're going to have to wait to the end. Joe, it's going to surprise you.
I'm curious who it is.
Who do you think it is?
It's probably the Raiders. I'll let you tell me later.
Okay.
No.
We can do that. All right. Let's get rolling. Everybody do us a favor. Hit the like and share. Share to all those groups on Facebook. Share to all of those share to all those groups on Facebook. Share to all of your social media pages. You're watching us, listening to us on YouTube. Like, subscribe, notification bell, wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate, review, and subscribe. Talk about good friends over at BetOnline. Good debate coming up next. Stay with us. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag.
We're back.
I got some breaking news, guys. It pains me to say this, but I think Joe DeLeon has entered the transfer portal. It's not something that any of us expected, but he has entered the transfer portal. He had to take care of something. He'll be right back. So tonight, Joe and I will be discussing our top five wide receivers. Uh-oh. In college football, bear with us. And I will just actually give you my top five here in college football. Or here is my list at the current moment as it stands. Luther Burden at number one, Emeka Ebuka at two from Ohio State, McMillan from Arizona at three, and this is the one that we were going to be debating about, Kyron Lacy at number four from LSU and Trey Harris at number five. So listen, I know that there are a lot of SEC wide receivers on my list, and we'll talk about Joe's in just a moment. I do think that those three dudes, I think Luther Burden is the best wide receiver in college football. I think this time next year, we're going to be talking about him as being the number one wide receiver in next year's NFL draft. I think the kid can do it all. I think he can catch, run after catch. I think he can high point. He can separate from DBs. He's physical and blocking when it comes up to getting to that second level and the safeties. I think the kid can do it all. The question is will he have that breakout year that everybody's expecting? The reason I say that is because a lot of those offensive pieces for Missouri returns. And when you have a lot of offensive line, when you have a quarterback going into another year, when you have multiple wide receivers that are, oh, you're back from the transfer portal?
Yeah, it's infuriating when you're sitting on your hands all day and then people send you corrections right when you log off and your shift is done. So things are great at the new job, Blake. We're in a great mood right now. Was it you that re-added me in, or was that me?
I've just been sitting here talking about Luther Burden.
Okay. All right. We can. I'm back. I'm here.
Okay. So just very quickly, just to finish my point, I think if you're looking at the top wide receiver in college football, it's got to be Luther Burden. Joe, do you want to get to your top five wide receivers?
Yes.
Okay. Here are your top five here. Go ahead and read them off, my man.
So you already mentioned the de facto number one, Luther Burden from Missouri. Number two, Teteroa McMillan from Arizona for me. Number three, Tez Johnson from Oregon. At number four, Emeka Ebuka at Ohio State. And then number five, Deion Burks from Oklahoma.
See, it's interesting because, well, before I get to all this, do you want to get to Luther Burden since you did not have the chance?
Sure. Just to contribute to what you probably already said about Burden, I think that he is justifiably the number one guy coming into next year because his impact was so noticeable. I don't think there's another guy on this list who carried their offensive production the way that he did. I don't think there's another guy in the country at receiver that we can talk about right now that was maybe not every single game because there were a couple games that he wasn't great, but a guy who seriously lifted their team's offense. I don't think there's another guy that can fit into that conversation.
I'm not going to say that there's not a guy that doesn't fit into that conversation. And I do want to say this. The only thing I'll say about Luther Burden, Joe, there were some big games he didn't show up in. Right? And I do think that this wide receiver core going into this year, Joe, we don't have the Malik Nabers, in my opinion. We don't have the Marvin Harrison. Okay, I don't even know who's going to be the Brian Thomas who emerges out of nowhere that people weren't talking about. I actually think we're going to talk about one of them. But the bottom line is even though we put Luther Burden at one, if I'm going to be very nitpicky, and I think it's fair to be nitpicky when you put somebody at one overall, for me, I think that he's going to have to show this year that he can step up in big games. Because I do think Brady Cook is going to be better. I think this offense is going to be better. And I do think that when you are the number one guy and you got a lot of receivers returning, you better – it's like the old saying, Joe, if you want to beat the man, you got to beat – or you want to be the man, you got to beat the man. Well, you're going to have to show that you can beat those first-round corners and first-round DBs at Georgia. And that's just the bottom line. So that would be the only nitpicky thing that I'd say about Luther Burden. Let me get to one of yours very quickly because you put up Deion Burks at Oklahoma. Now, I am not disagreeing, but you're going to get on to me about my number four and Kyron Lacy at LSU when they have the same exact yardage. So you're getting on to me about projection, even though you're projecting at number five.
But there is a difference.
Let's start with Deion Burks, though, first. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a difference between the two of them. Deion Burks was an all-conference player in the Big Ten last year. He was projected to be a top 100 pick by most scouts, most people that follow and cover the NFL draft, if he had decided to declare. And he was one of the most highly sought-after receivers in the portal. Kyron Lacy had production last year. Sure, he had 500 yards. He was a little bit off of what Deion Burks had. But Deion Burks has been regarded as extremely talented, but was playing in an offense that was not productive throwing the football. It was three steps behind what LSU was capable of putting up offensively. I understand that there were two guys ahead of him that are going to go on to be first-round picks, but you would think if he's supposed to be worthy of being this good, that he still would have found more ways to have more than 500 yards. The third receiver on Washington this past year had over 1,000 yards in Jalen Polk. There's no excuse for me.
They also threw the ball almost double the amount that LSU did.
Wait, no.
Michael Penix had almost, because he played two more games. He almost had 500 passing attempts. Jaden Daniels had 350 at max.
Okay.
To
stick with Burks before we get back to Lacy, though.
Okay.
His production is going to be through the roof this year, and I have said it time and time again. He is a very explosive receiver. There are not a lot of guys returning with a lot of tangible production. So I'm at least going to go with a guy that is recognized within the conference for only having 600 yards, still made the all conference team.
All right. So you're nitpicking because I mean, you can say all that. You're still projecting. Kyron Lacy.
I'm not projecting.
Yeah, I think he will be better because he's in a better offense. While at the same time getting on to Kyron Lacy in reference to him being on the number one total offense. So my point is, I don't disagree with you on Burks in a lot of different ways. So I don't want to poo-poo on the kid, okay, because I do think he's really good. He'd be in my top eight. But, Joe, I do have a lot of worries with him, and let me tell you why. I don't think he could come into the SEC and be a top all SEC performer. There are multiple reasons why I believe that, even though I think he's fast and talented and will put up some numbers, okay. Here's the issue. He's going into a year with a quarterback that I don't know how I'm going to be able to judge him. Now, at the end of the year, okay, maybe. But if you notice, I don't put anybody that's not been in that conference up in the top because I don't know what I'm going to get. Joe, I went back and watched that Oklahoma game, the Oklahoma spring game, and Jackson Arnold is taking sacks, unwarranted sacks, that I don't know if he's completely ready for the moment at this current time. Okay, Joe, he took five sacks. I went back and watched the full game. He took at least four of them were completely unnecessary. So is he going to be able to get the ball out on time? By the way, Oklahoma literally just signed another defensive lineman because they don't know if that position group is going to be ready enough for the SEC. Here's what I'm doing, and I'm being, and I will admit, 1,000% biased. I think the kid showed things against Alabama, against first-round corners, that scored them a touchdown right before half to tie the game against Alabama. By the way, was a playoff team. And what I've seen from him all spring, Joe, I've been there. I've been at practice. I've seen him go up with one hand, okay, and spring, come down, break two tackles, and score. You can say whatever you want about me, and Blake's a homer, and Blake's doing all of this. Joe, there is a thing at schools, and I will use your school that you're wearing the hat of. If somebody says a breakout star, the offensive line is at Notre Dame, Joe, you start believing them. You know why? Because the history is there. I am telling you, with everything in my bones and everything in my fiber, you can believe whatever you want to believe. I'm going to take a lot of shit for this, and that's okay. Because like I did last year with Malik, I know he had 1,000 yards. It was what it was, but he didn't have any touchdowns. I'm telling you, this kid is about to go off. I'm telling you, he's about to go off. Let me give you a quote from a buddy of mine in an NFL front office. He texted me this during Jaden Daniels's, what do they call that when they go to the schools? Pro day. He said, Blake, I got to be honest. I don't know how far Kyren Lacy is from being a first round pick for me. And I do think, Joe, that there's something to be said. I'm telling you, please, dear Lord, dear heavens, trust me when I'm telling you this. I am more bullish on this kid than any other kid on the, in that program right now. Okay, I really am.
But Blake, it's fine that you like him and that you think he's going to be a really good player this upcoming year.
What you're doing with Burks.
No, but Burks has produced in a conference that typically doesn't throw the ball as much. And again, he earned all conference honors. You're the only person I have heard talk about Kyren Lacy. Everybody with two eyeballs has seen Deion Burks and said, this kid is going to be one of the biggest steals in the transfer portal.
Why do you think he's going to be a
top 100 pick? Look,
you know me well enough. Why do you think I would do that?
I'm sorry to be an asshole, but because you have Trey Harris on here too. Like, there isn't a Louisiana bias in this list. Come on. It's okay to say that you think he'd be a breakout.
Joe, the two games that Ole Miss lost, Trey Harris did not play.
The other part of this, okay, if you put CJ Daniels on here, I'd be fine with it. He was really productive last year, and he's transferring to LSU.
Which goes to my point in reference to when a kid is going to transfer into a new conference, I'm not putting them in there. By the way, I will continue to tell you, if you want to get on the Trey Harris thing, Joe, that offense is really good. You know that, and I know that. And if you ask Lane, what would he say about Trey Harris? They call him Baby Megatron.
We're jumping too far ahead here. I want to finish what we're talking about here with Kyren Lacy.
All right.
All I'm saying is, though, it's okay to claim a guy is going to break out. It is okay to say, you know what, I'm going to be bullish. I think that he'd be my 14th or 15th guy. I think he's going to be a breakout. But he has 500 yards, and you're placing him at four. At four. I didn't even put Deion Burks at four.
Joe, we're going to talk about Emeka Ogbuka. I don't give two Rudy Poos that the kid was hurt. I still have him very high on my list. That should not go against Kyren Lacy when you have two kids in your list that last year alone had about the same amount of yardage that Kyren Lacy did.
Okay, Emeka Ogbuka's circumstances completely.
I don't give two Rudy, and you can't, because Joe, what if he gets hurt again? Okay, then you're going to say he's injury prone. And we can make an argument about Emeka Ogbuka being injury prone. Now, the catch that he had along the sideline, Joe, that was more Odell or you know what? It kind of reminded me, speaking of your Giants, we'll talk about later, reminded me of that catch, going up with one hand. The kid is talented. But here's the biggest thing for me about this wide receiver room. Name, other than Luther Burden, take Luther Burden out of it. You can make an argument for 15 other guys to be in your top 15.
Yeah, that's my point why Kyren Lacy shouldn't be in there. He was a fourth receiver on a team last year.
He wasn't the fourth wide receiver on
team. Third.
Okay. But the issue that I'm trying to bring up, if there is a position group that has more unknowns in it than arguably maybe any position group in college football, it might be this position.
It is, which is why I'm not going to put a guy in there that is a complete and utter unknown. I at least – this is my point, though, is that, yes, Deion Burks might not –
Hold on. How can you say two kids that had 600 yards receiving that you know about one and don't know about the other?
Because Emeka Ogbuka had,
I'm talking about Burks, but
okay. But you're bringing up both of them. Emeka Ogbuka had in 2022 one of the best receiving seasons, and this past year was significantly hurt and had to get tightrope surgery.
At Howard.
that he's now the number one receiver. Forget that for a second. That doesn't play into this conversation.
Throwing him the ball head doesn't come into the conversation.
How many Marvin Harrison Jr. still had one of the best receiving seasons last year, and Ya'Kyle McCord throwing to him. As long as he doesn't have Deacon Hill throwing him the football, I don't think it's going to be a significant detriment.
Why do you hate Deacon Hill so much? This is like the third time you brought up Deacon Hill.
Dog shit.
Oh my god.
The point I'm trying to get at here is that Emeka Abuka had the production but got hurt, and then Deion Burks, again, all conference, and has been recognized by many up until this point, and has been acknowledged by many up until this point as a guy that is going to have a great season and was great last year, but saw limited production because he didn't have anybody good to throw him the football. If Kyron Lacy was the third receiver at LSU and all he could muster was 500 yards, that to me is not great. At least get in the 700 range. I'm not asking for that much more of a bump. I'm not saying he can't be good.
In fairness, okay, when the game was on the line, Jaden Daniels went to two people. Okay. And I wish we could do this, but we can't. I challenge you and I challenge everybody. Turn on the film. If we're going to just stat watch.
I did watch him. He's fine. I mean, he's a good player.
And you know what? He's gotten better. Look, you can say what you ever want about me, but you can say it's Louisiana bias with Trey Harris. But I still said Trey Harris was I told you last year that if Trey Harris would have been to Ole Miss the year before, I'd put him on this list.
Trey Harris, I don't mind. I mostly just was trying to take a shot when I said yes. When I made the comment about the bias. But there is blatant bias. You pick a kid who was at UL Monroe and then transferred
together. We and you watched the Penn State game together. We were going back and forth, on Twitter. And you told me, and which we could pull up the tweets if we need to, that when Trey Harris was mossing dudes in the Big Ten, I get it's Penn State, but come on. They were the number two defense in the country. Joe, he absolutely destroyed them.
I don't.
When the kid was healthy, Joe, you got to admit, was arguably one of the top performers in the SEC last year.
I don't disagree with Trey Harris, really. He would have been number six for me. He just missed it on the outside.
How are you going to say I got Louisiana bias then?
Because I'm bringing up the fact that you've got two Louisiana guys in there, and I'm using the fact that there's two Louisiana guys in there to illustrate why
they put more wide receivers in the league than anybody.
But I'm also going to go as far as to say this. Why is it Trey Harris ahead of Kyron Lacy, though? Trey Harris at least is produced, and I've seen him make an insane amount of big plays.
Can I tell you something that you're going to – and you can rip on me, it's fine. Can I tell you something that I think a receiver that goes unnoticed that nobody talks about?
What?
How willing of a blocker they are.
I think that's important to bring up. I don't think it's necessary for you to be a top five guy, but I think it's certainly important.
Very nitpicky, I think it can be. What does Lane do? What is Lane's biggest crux? He makes you think that he likes throwing the football all over the place. But the truth is, Joe, at his core, he wants to run the football.
Yeah.
And I think that Trey Harris, Kyron Lacy are the best two in the country at doing that. I really do believe that. And I talked about this when you were off. You know who is the most underrated blocker at this position group than anybody? It's Luther Burden. Luther Burden will knock your freaking head off. If you're not paying attention, he will knock your head off. I think that comes into equation here too. Kyron and Trey, to me, do so many other things that are go unaccounted. By the way, when Kyron Lacy was the number one wide receiver against Wisconsin, didn't he have a touchdown? Or actually, he was number two. He had a touchdown and 100 yards.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At KPMG, our people make the difference, It's not just something we say, it's what we do. Combining the power of people and technology, we uncover brighter insights, innovate bolder solutions, and create better data-driven outcomes. KPMG, make the difference.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
And I know you're not pulling bowl game stats. I know you're not pulling bowl game stats. Deion Burke
bowl game and had 100 yards too. Am I not supposed to pull that?
No. No, you're not supposed to pull that because he played against who? No, they didn't play in a bowl game. They didn't play any. They didn't play in a bowl game. I was like, "Wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense."
All right. A couple more people on our list here. We have McMillan. Do you want to talk about him? I have him, or you have him at two. I have him at three.
Yeah. McMillan to me is a very unique player because I think that it's hard to come by these massive, physically framed, box out, jump ball guys like McMillan. It's just hard to find this many elite guys that are able to just win in the air even when they're covered. I have so many times on film where I can pull up where he is just, you talked about mossing guys and baby Megatron. Like, man, he might kind of be that at the college level. He's not as athletic, obviously, but he mosses dudes all the time on film. There's one play against USC where there's like two guys on his back and he jumps up, comes down like it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to be and should be the top receiver in the Big 12 this year. And he's going to be an All-American. I mean, his production was so notable. And the fact that Fifita's not leaving, I don't think it's going to hurt his production at all. I feel like we would have heard by now if Fifita was going to leave.
Fair. Does the new coaching staff worry you with a guy like him?
No, because the production was there. And you'd have to be stupid but to try and not scheme him the football. And again, it's the same quarterback.
Coaches are stupid.
But, that's true, and I didn't love the hire that they made. But Fifita's still there, so Fifita's smart enough to know, hey, this guy, and they decided to stay together because they want to grow and finish their career together. So you would assume that they're going to still stay connected.
That is fair. I do worry for him because of how piss poor I think, like you said, the coaching hire was. I'm a little worried. For him, for a guy like him, maybe I'm just like, you know, maybe I'm off, maybe I'm not, but I like the kid though. If we're just going athlete per athlete at that position, I think you're right. You could easily make the argument for him at one, two, or three. I don't think that's really a debate there. All right. We talked about Emeka Buka a little bit. You want to get to him now?
Yeah, let's bring him up.
All right, Emeka Buka for you is at four, and for me is actually at two. I'm a little higher on him than you are. What says you about Emeka Buka?
Yeah, the only reason why I wasn't as bullish as you were and why I wanted to push him down just a tiny bit lower behind McMillan was just because of the injury that he's coming off of, and I'm not trying to factor too much into that. He was banged up last year. His production wasn't as good. I think that he's going to go right back to what he did in 2022. But I couldn't – it had more to do with McMillan being so freaking good and it being the last thing that I saw, and me not having a last year to turn to for Emeka Abuka, it has nothing to do with him and his quality of play. But as soon as he is back and fully healthy, which he looked great in the spring game, I think he's going to be so hard to keep up with in the Big Ten, and he is the Big Ten's best receiver. I can't think of anyone who even comes close.
The only one, and I'm going to pull something that you're going to hate because I dinged you on it. I mean, the best receiver in the league might be Jeremiah Smith, and we have no idea what the kid's going to do.
Yeah, we can't.
Yeah, we can't do that.
Go there.
See, the interesting thing here is that you do have Tez Johnson from Oregon right below or right above him. So you said that you think that there might not be someone in the Big Ten, but you do have the guy at Oregon there. What says you about Tez Johnson? I don't know how much I like Tez Johnson, really. I'm a little out.
He was a little bit of a slow burn for me. I kind of talked myself into it. People forget how good he did last year.
Yeah, he had a really good year because the other receiver, what's the other receiver that they had?
Troy Franklin.
Troy Franklin was the big vocal point there.
Yeah, Tez Johnson in 2023 was really one of the best receivers in the Pac-12 that didn't get enough love. He had 1,100 yards, he had 10 touchdowns, and he had 86 receptions. He might only be like 165 pounds, 170 pounds, but God, he's like Xavier Worthy with how quick he is, but he actually has hands and he can catch the football. He flies. I implore anyone who hasn't watched it, just even his highlights, go watch his highlights. He separates quickly. He will kill you over the top. And I think that now that Troy Franklin is gone and has moved on, I think his production is going to be even better.
I think it was a bubble screen maybe versus Washington the second time that he broke out and made like five guys miss. I'm going to give you the same thing that I did last year about a guy like Xavier Worthy. And Joey's going into a different conference where dudes are bigger, stronger, faster. And if
there's not a lot of corner talent that's like going to really slow him down. You know, it's not like he's stepping into a situation where
that's not the point that I'm making.
Okay, go ahead.
Caleb Downs will knock his block off.
Probably.
Okay. You're not always going to be taking hits from corner safeties, whatever. Because in that offense, he's going to be asked to block in zone read situations like he did last year, and he failed against Washington. Joe, against a team that's not a really good tackling team, wasn't a good defense, by the way. I don't know what's going on at Bama. Speaking of Washington, DeBoer, Joe, I think they got a problem defensively. I'm hearing things. Either way, I don't like 165-pound dudes.
Yeah, but that doesn't have anything to do with it. We're not talking about him as a draft prospect. We're just talking about he was one of the top producing receivers last year. He's returning to an offense that is potentially going to be better. Great quarterback that we love. They know how to get him the football, and they did a good job of getting him the football last year. I just don't see a way that he doesn't finish as a top five receiver unless he gets hurt.
Black Ram, Black Mamba Ram says, there's no wrong opinion on your top five wide receivers this season, not last. What are they looking like right now? No one can really dictate who will break out at any given year. So Blake, in my opinion, has a solid argument here. Thank you, for the super chat. Yeah,
thank you for the super chat. Is that an AYS listener?
I will neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah, you're a dickhead. look, again, just to reiterate, I have no problem with you. You didn't bring him up in the breakout player segment. If you did that and you in the breakout player segment said Kyron Lacy, I would have been like, okay, I don't know a lot. You know, I don't know.
I wasn't in spring then. I wasn't at practice every day then. Joe, here's the truth. I'm going based off of what I've seen with my own eyes. And he's not failing me. Joe, the stuff that this kid is doing right now on the field, scrimmage, back-to-back scrimmages, I'm doing something. The rule I said we can't break all the time. But when it comes to just me, and seeing it with my own eyes is what I can't not have him in there. Like when that's the reason why I sent you the list so late. You know why I sent you the list so late? Because I knew what you were going to do. And I'm like, but I can't, I just couldn't do it. And ding me on it. I don't care. You're going to hate it. I don't care. I told you you're going to hate it. I don't care. I know what I know.
It just doesn't make any sense to me why you wouldn't put Daniels on here. Like I was expecting,
I think Kyron Lacy has been better than them. I think that what's been missed in this
Kyron Lacy also transferred from the lower level program. So like, don't think that there's much of a difference.
Him and Nussmeier have a connection that I don't think people are realizing because they've been together for so long. Hate me on it. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I really do hate you for it. I really hate it. I absolutely hate it.
Well, you better be careful because, God damn it, there's going to be a top three pick in this NFL draft to text us this week or at us this week. So I'm just going to say, you better calm your ass down.
Okay, you know what? I texted you this, and I said this to you. You got two right this year. You're not going to be – you can't be right every single time. That's
Joe,
just not
I have
possible.
A 95% being right rate.
Okay, so that's how I know you're wrong because you just pulled that number out of your ass. You just made that number up. That means nothing to me.
Joe, I'm right 90% of the time, 90% of the time.
You're telling me you've never had a wrong take when it comes to projecting an LSU.
Really, really bad takes.
Specifically like, an LSU.
Can I give you one?
Yeah, I'd love
Here's
to hear
a bad one. Take I had. I didn't think Saquon Barkley would work.
In college or in the NFL?
In the NFL, because we did a film breakdown on him and brought up the film. And my man shied away from pass pro.
He sucks at pass pro.
Okay, well, he didn't get better. I thought that was going to be a massive issue for him. Well, shit. I mean, it hadn't hurt him that bad. And I didn't see it. And clearly I was wrong about that. What's another one? Max Johnson. I was off on Max Johnson. I thought that he would
be. Thought he was going to be.
No, I didn't think he was going to be good. I thought he would. I thought he was a bridge player. Now, in fairness, Max came in for Texas A&M last year, and they actually started winning football games. So I think he's a serviceable college football quarterback. But I thought he could be better than that.
That doesn't surprise me.
What's another one? Oh, you want to hear another one? I thought that Graham Mertz wasn't going to be any good.
Oh, that I mean, we both said that.
Yeah, we were both wrong.
I Malik Nabers, you at least had the fact that he had 1,000 yards and he had a good season and he had a bunch of big plays and he looked good. And I think it was the SEC championship game was a big game for him. That one I wasn't going to argue with because it was like the guy produced. He's getting better. He's shown us a line of progression. I just don't have any evidence of Kyron Lacy like being a guy. Could he be the number one receiver? Could he have 1,000 yards? Sure. But a lot of guys get 1,000 yards.
Penn Jones says, of course, Blake is right more times than Joe because Joe is a Notre Dame homer.
I didn't even bring up a Notre Dame guy.
Because there's nobody on your team.
No, because I could have brought up Chris Mitchell. I could have easily brought up Chris Mitchell. Chris Mitchell was one of the highest producing receivers last year in college football. In receiving yards, in touchdowns, in receptions. But you know what I knew? No, that'd be ludicrous to project that he was going to be a top five receiver. Because I don't know, because he's coming from FIU. Kyron Lacy didn't even produce.
He wasn't even on your team last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Calm down there, Peter Pan. All right. You want to get to the NFL draft?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Let's talk about our good friends over at Home Field Apparel. We'll talk about the NFL draft. We do that next.
Rufino and Joe Show is brought to you by Home Field Apparel, which is the best, without a doubt, premium collegiate apparel brand that is out there. They have over 150 different colleges that you can choose from, whether you're an Illinois fan or a Rutgers fan. Maybe you're an LSU fan like Blake, or maybe you're an Alabama fan. Whatever it is, even Idaho, they have so many different designs for so many different football programs that I can guarantee you're going to find some great stuff to help root for your favorite team. I've already gotten my Notre Dame stuff. Blake has his LSU stuff. Make sure you head on over to homefieldapparel.com to check out your team's collection of clothing apparel that they have on the website. And when you do so, when you check out, make sure you use promo code RuffinoJoe to get 15% off your order. That is RuffinoJoe, Rufino Joe. Head on over to homefieldapparel.com and get your college gear today.
That is the first time. The first person that should hear that sound on Thursday is Jaden Daniels.
He's not going to, though.
I know he's not going to, but it doesn't change the fact that I think that he should be the first person that hears that sound. Joe, the NFL draft is on Thursday, and we're not a draft show, but it is all of college players going to be drafted. Where do you want to start off with? What are some topics you're looking forward to in the NFL draft?
Yeah, you said this isn't a draft show, yet I have one of the most notorious bad takes. We were just talking about bad takes that was clipped and will continuously be reclipped over probably the next 48 hours after Jaden Daniels is selected in the first round. I'm not going to elaborate on what that is. But I did want to talk about, though, because we do have ties to the draft because I cover it, and in your background, I think that Jaden Daniels is worth just discussing right now because his impact on how the first round is going to shake up is very significant. It is really, really significant how the rest of the ordering is going to play out depending on where he goes. And I'm referring to the fact of what was reported on by Adam Schefter on Friday.
Which was reported by here last week.
Yes. That the visit did not go well because they brought a bunch of guys in. I think they did like Topgolf or something stupid. And the quarterbacks that were there, most of them weren't really happy with being called on to be in that large of a setting, and they wanted more of a commitment. Jaden Daniels, according to Schefter, was one of those people. I think that the Commanders would be best off picking him because he fits best for Cliff Kingsbury's scheme. But it's very interesting to me now what the hell they do. I don't know if they trade out. I don't know if there is a plausible spot for them to do so.
I think that, so here's my opinion. It is what it is. I've given you my reasons. I tagged you in something about Caleb Williams this week, about him going on the Pivot podcast and all that stuff. Joe, I do think that Caleb Williams is obviously going number one. I think that's pretty much lock, set, done deal.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you. Jaden Daniels holds the keys to all of this. Joe, there are a lot of people in this draft that I know very personally, and you know this. There's not a conversation that's been had that I talked to anybody in the NFL who has told me that they have Drake May or anybody else above Jaden Daniels. The issue becomes is that there is a massive disconnect between the GM and the Daniels camp. I think that they're going to take him.
So you think despite the tension, they're still just going to take him?
Here's what I think happened. And this is what I'm starting to now see through the clouds on this. I think they were testing him. I think that they were trying to see what he would do in a situation like this and see if he and if Jaden Daniels went. Hold on.
I'm not shaking my head at you. I'm shaking
your head at them.
Yes. I'm like, that's insanely stupid, but sorry, continue.
What I think has happened, and it's more than even thinking, just talking to people very closely, I think that they wanted to see if he would have been like, hey, man, if I'm the guy, then you better start treating me like the guy. And I think that Jaden Daniels put pressure on the Commanders. You bet you. All right, watch this. And then when that happened, I would assume that his agent went out and started making more phone calls to different teams. Now, I can't back any of this up. I'm just saying what I think happened. Then I think Minnesota made a phone call. Then I think the New York Giants made a phone call. And I think that the team that nobody thinks is going to potentially try to trade up, the Raiders, I know that the Raiders are going to try to trade up and get him. And if you don't take him at two, the Raiders, the Giants, and the Raiders, Giants, and Minnesota will trade up to come get him. Because I do think New England's in play here. I think New England is looking for more of a rebuild and knows that they need a rebuild. With all that being said, he's getting selected at two. It just depends on who the team is that's going to select him. So, Joe, you had a chance. I'm talking about NFL teams. You had a chance here. 31 teams, actually all 32 teams, had a chance to go up and get Lamar Jackson. Joe, I fully believe he is a more polished throwing Lamar Jackson. That's what I believe of him. And if you don't want to take him, good luck. Good luck.
I like the assessment that you have there. I do think that he's certainly more polished as a passer coming into the league. I don't blame Jaden Daniels and his agent for using this as leverage to get away from the Commanders, because I think that they have had such a bad track record of not – and I know it's new ownership, and I know that Josh Harris, who purchased the team, is trying to change the direction of it, but they still have a horrible history of quarterback success in their whole history of being a team, whole history. And especially recently, there's just been so much bouncing around on who the next guy is. I wouldn't want to be there if I was Jaden Daniels, and I would use any little bit of leverage, because he does have all the leverage in this situation. I think teams like Drake May. You don't think Jaden has any leverage?
No, because I think if the Commanders want to trade him, they will take him. And there's nothing that he can do about it.
Well, actually, the other part of this, too, is if the Commanders want to stay put and they don't want to miss out on taking a quarterback, they could just take Drake May. Like, I don't think that a lot of teams have much separation between Drake May and Jaden Daniels on their boards. I really don't.
And that is absolutely asinine.
I don't agree with that. I think that they're two different style players, and I think that they fit two different play styles.
Joe, name a game that Drake May has won in a big game and performed in a big-time situation. Can you name any?
He was at UNC, and he started two seasons. Jaden Daniels played five seasons of college football. They're two very different players.
One guy went to a team that had 39 scholarship players and beat Nick Saban on the last play.
Jaden Daniels is more ready to play and contribute now. Drake May is more of a project, but both have similar ceilings. Okay.
Then, I don't think that's an unreal thing. Then you take a guy that's ready to play now, because everybody needs in that position a quarterback that can play now.
But my point is that if the Commanders had such a bad visit with him and they don't think that the relationship is good, they could just say, we're going to take the guy who's the project and wait and be patient.
Well, then do it. Well, then do it. And you're going to get your ass burned. Good luck.
They might not have an option. They might have screwed up this whole bit. I just want to know why they thought that that was a good idea.
They wanted to test him.
But nobody has ever done something like that before.
By the way, Peter's the GM. Was telling anybody who would listen last year that Jaden Daniels will be an undrafted free agent. Like this time last year was saying that right. He'd be an undrafted free agent. Well, if you would open – here's what – you know I love you, and I don't mean this. Can I tell you what I – because you're more in college than any of these NFL guys. Can I tell you what I hate about NFL people or draft NFL people?
They don't watch
the fucking games. They stat hunt. And if you're going to stat hunt a guy like Jaden Daniels, then you're an idiot. If you're going to stat hunt Drake May, I think you're an idiot.
Okay.
Joe, well, look what they're doing with J.J. McCarthy.
Well, you can't even stat hunt with him. I mean, that's a whole nother separate issue.
He throws the football really hard. He throws the football from a velocity standpoint harder than anybody. Whoopity-doo. So does Joe Milton.
Well, he's better than Joe Milton. But
so you believe.
You're right, though, to your point that it is the perfect measure of it being overthinking season. I think if somebody does end up sliding, though, it's probably going to be him. I don't think that the NFL is as hyped up on him as everyone thinks.
Like, oh, I agree with that.
It's just so crazy to me that everybody, like, we Will Levis was further along and a better prospect coming in than JJ McCarthy was, but he fell to the second round.
I fully agree. Look, I just think that Jaden Daniels gives you a different dynamic that nobody else in this draft, and Joe, maybe in the next decade, doesn't give you. I'm sorry. There's not a lot of guys that can run and move like him and that throw like him. I mean, I really do believe, I believe this in my bone of bones. I think he's a better, more polished Lamar Jackson. Are you going to miss out on the MVP? Joe, essentially, are you going to miss on a guy that legitimately has the same exact traits of an MVP?
Let's wait before we crown
No, I'm not saying he's an MVP. Okay. I said same traits as an MVP. If you ask all 32 teams right now, if they would have taken Lamar Jackson, knowing what they know now, would they have taken him? What do you think all of them would have said?
I think most are hubristic enough to say that they still wouldn't have taken him. But I get what you're saying, that you don't want to miss out on a talent like this that is rare and hard to keep up with. I think there are separate concerns for Jaden Daniels' play that some people might not have him as the number two guy. I will say, though, I think him landing with the Raiders is the most interesting option. And I think that would be his best situation to come to, would be to play for Las Vegas.
If that happens, Antonio Pierce was a DC at Arizona State, recruited him. I think that there's a lot of familiarity there. Here's the problem with the Raiders. They're broke.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for them, they have already taken a flyer on a head coach. Do they want to take that big of a flyer on a quarterback, even though I think it's going to pan out? I do think that the Vikings or the Raiders are the teams that he would want to play for the most if he got to tell you. Now, I will tell you, and I know that they're in the same division, I really do not know what's going to happen with the New York Giants. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't know either. They've been brought up with all three quarterbacks. They have been talked about as just sitting where they are and sticking with Daniel Jones. And if they do take a quarterback, they're in a shit situation because they're paying Daniel Jones, and then they've got to figure out what to do with the rookie. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to be a part of that circus.
Yo, I was told on their 30th visit, they went back to Jaden Daniels. The only thing that I can make of that is that they think that that Washington screwed this up so bad and that they're going to trade the house with New England at three. I think if the Giants get what they want, it would be this. I think it would be that what you said comes to fruition. Drake May goes at two, okay? Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels falls at three, and in a trade package with New England, they would send first-round picks and Daniel Jones because Daniel Jones would be serviceable enough for them to rebuild. They That's get true. First round picks. Okay.
They got a lot of cap room.
They got a lot of cap room, and they will be serviceable. But by the way, in Jacoby Brissett in New England.
Yeah, he's there too.
I think Jacoby Brissett, who's the middest? Who is more mid? And that's the bowl that they will play in. I do think that the Giants play more of a key factor in this than anybody is giving them credit for. And there's a lot of people talking about it behind the scenes.
You know what this also kind of reminds me of? How, remember 2 years
ago? Day.
No, you remember how 2 years ago, and it's not even close. 2 years ago, the Steelers, it was rumored the whole time
that Malik they were going to move up.
No, and that they were going to take Malik Willis. It's like, they're going to take Malik Willis. They had him at dinner for this long, like he was there for a long, like all this stuff. Like they just super emphasis on Malik Willis. And they took a quarterback, but it was Kenny Pickett. It kind of reminds me of the fact that they have been so bad at hiding the JJ McCarthy visit. And like that got like leaked, and like Joe Shane apparently was pissed off because that was public information. Same thing with Drake May. They've been really vocal and connected to talking to him. And Jaden Daniels hasn't been brought up publicly once.
But I've been telling you behind the scenes for 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
That, Joe, I'm telling you,
they could be trying to drive up the market for those other guys so that they hope he slides.
I 100% believe that that is the case. And by the way, guess what? they get Daniel Jones, they could get half of Daniel Jones's contract off of their books, and you get a one-year rental if you're New England with Daniel Jones at $10 million to have a more than serviceable backup if it comes to it.
Right.
I think both teams win in that situation. And by the way, Mayo, New England, everybody gets to rebuild. And you know what else? I'm not going to overlook Robert Kraft calling Arthur Blank and saying, don't trust Bill Belichick. I think that Kraft knows that this is going to be a rebuild. So, all right.
Well, so that was one of the things I heard at the combine, by the way, was that they Mayo spoke to the press like off the record and was like, hey, this is, you know, this is going to be a 3-year process. Like, don't be surprised if we're a little rough for the next couple of years.
All right. Who's the first quarterback selected? I mean, who is the first non-quarterback selected off the board?
It's going to be Marvin Harrison Jr.
At 4 to Arizona?
Yeah. Or 5 to the Chargers.
Would it surprise you if it was Malik?
Yeah. I think Malik Nabers is a good player, but I think that it goes without being said that the NFL is gung-ho over a guy. Yeah, bloodline. That is always a box being checked for the NFL.
Sorry. I actually, as much as I do, and again, biased, think that Malik gives you a lot more different things, I do think a team will select him before because of what you just said. If his name was Marvin Smith Jr. instead of Marvin Harrison Jr., I do not believe he would go there.
I don't agree with that part. I mean, he's still supremely talented.
I don't think he would be the first non-quarterback selected.
Oh, yeah, I think it'd probably be Joe Alt, which is ironic because he also has NFL bloodlines, so that's how that would work.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You want to hear a crazy statistic?
Mm-hmm.
Of the top 5 picks, Brian Kelly has either recruited or been the head coach for 3 of the top 5 picks. Top five picks. Right. Joe Alt, Malik Nabers, Jaden Daniels.
Too bad he doesn't have anything to show for it. That's a good note to end it.
Neither does Notre Dame, and they never will. Y'all haven't won a natty since the 80s.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you think Joe Alt is going to be the first non-quarterback selected? Why wouldn't the Cardinals go with a tackle?
Because they need receivers more than they need offensive linemen. They went and signed Jonah Williams.
Jonah Williams is very injury prone. He's been injury prone.
I they've got that 23rd pick. I think that they would make more sense for them to go with Marvin Harrison Jr.
I don't agree with that. I'm going to be honest with you. More than Malik Nabers, more than Marvin Harrison Jr., if you're going to stay with Kyler, you got to protect him. More than you need to get a receiver, you got to get a right now left tackle. And Joe, to be honest with you, you could, because you got a 23rd pick, there are a lot of receivers in this draft that you can go get at 23. Now, they're not Marvin Harrison Jr. You're not getting a Joe Alt at 23. You can get a first round, first pick, or first, you know, really talented wide receiver at 23. Fuck, you could get Brian Thomas Jr. at 23, apparently, is what I'm hearing.
He'll probably still be on the board there. I could see that happening as well. I mean, there's plenty of options for them.
I think Joe, I swear to God, I wouldn't second guess it.
I don't disagree. I love Joe Alt.
Look how many wide receivers were selected from 20 to 28 that are in the Hall of Fame, by the way. It's like 70. I saw a stat today. It was, I think, Pro Football Focus, like 78% of the wide receivers drafted from 20 to 28 are Hall of Famers.
Makes sense.
Anything else you want to add on to this?
No, I'm late for a guest spot. I gotta go to.
Sorry, I didn't see the private chat. See you tomorrow. No, you're good. Whenever. Peace.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.